Call the meeting to order, please. Just a bit of housekeeping chores first. If anyone has a cell phone or other electronic device, we would appreciate you turning it off as it affects our electronic systems. We would appreciate that very much. Now, if we could call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Sherry, if we could have roll call, please.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Clark Cottner.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
And I understand that Charlie Hawkins requested to be excused tonight.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
We have no recognition and awards, and now we'll go to audience participation. We noticed that there's a number of people have signed up. We have a public hearing later on in our agenda, and I wonder if the majority of you have signed up to speak at that time.
Mr. Mayor, I believe that's true.
If there, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been asked a lot of people if they could speak at the public hearing.
So yes. If there's anyone that would like to speak to a topic other than that is covered in the public hearing, you're welcome to do so now. If not, we'll wait for the public hearing. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the Commission, Committee, and Board reports. First item is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Clark.
We've had two or three meetings with the consulting firm that's working with the city. We're making progress, and we're going to have another meeting next Tuesday. And we've invited the representative from the Chamber of Commerce and Dave Wilbrook. And we may have a live telephone conference with the consultant. What's his name?
Hebert.
Okay. I don't remember his name. What's his name, Bonnie?
Jim Hebert,
yep. That's it.
Thank you, Clark. Blaine Chamber of Commerce.
No report.
How about the RED Loan Committee?
No report.
WTA Board, Paul.
The board has canceled its August meetings. No report.
Okay. The Library Committee.
No report.
Senior Center Liaison.
No report. Comment. The Boys and Girls Club has a new director. I don't know the name, but okay, they have somebody now.
Okay. Michael Jones is not here this evening, so there won't be a report from the...
He's here. He appears to have stepped out.
Okay. Maybe we'll wait for his report. Chief's not here either, is he?
No, he's out today.
Okay. And I have nothing on the Small Cities Caucus or the Whatcom Council of Governments. Chief Hollander?
Do you have a new newsletter?
Yes. That's much appreciated, too.
Unless you have any other questions, I will be doing a very good connection to the
commissioners. We're going to get you to explain the beans with sausage recipe. We'll save that for another meeting. How's that? Okay, you're welcome to go at any time. Don't want to miss the Derby.
Okay. Got to keep them safe.
Raven, perhaps maybe we can pick up Mr. Jones when we get to the city manager and staff reports. How would that be?
That would be great.
Okay. Let's switch to the city manager and staff reports. I believe the city manager,
is out this week.
Is out this week?
That's correct.
Okay. And so, Raven, are you going to be the chairing this portion of the meeting?
I will do the public works report anyway, okay. And I'll let the other department heads chime in. I just knew that I was first, so I was trying to save some time. First, at our last meeting, we were asked about how many homes had connected at the Harbor Shore subdivision. At this point in time, we know of 3 occupied homes, 1 additional home that's complete but not occupied, and 6 homes in various stages of construction. It's a little tough for us to track because these are all in the county. The permitting is handled by the county, and the way that our agreement works with them is that we have 1 single metered point of connection. We are going to keep a status on it, however, because we would like to see, as more homes get on board, how that equates to the estimated flows. But at this point in time, our thought would be that there's just not enough activity to really to make a decision on that. Wanted to let you know that Michael Jones and I met this morning with representatives from the local Legion Hall and the VFW post in Custer to talk about Memorial Park and possible ways that we could partner to clean up the memorial wall that's there, as well as making the cannon gun a little bit more safe. So that's something that I'm excited to report. Our Boglet sidewalk project is moving along quite quickly. It's across the street from the new Rite Aid development, and you're going down that portion of Boglet Street over by the highway. One change on that project from what we originally designed is that the street trees will need to go behind the sidewalk. We had hoped to have the kind of a landscaped barrier between the street and the trail/sidewalk. It's a 10-foot wide sidewalk, but because of utility conflicts, specifically Public Works fiber optic cable, we are too concerned about having the street trees that close to our fiber. The Boglet signal project, we're looking at some other alternatives. The state is not excited about us incorporating the U Avenue intersection with their signal, so we're looking at possible other alternatives. I think we'll probably look at doing a small professional service contract to do some modeling about what other things we could do to make the U Avenue intersection more safe and the signal a little bit more efficient. So you can look for that in the future. Dave Wilbrecht and myself met with Roger Brown, the director of the Birch Bay Water and Sewer District, had a little plant tour last week, and he's very interested in us setting up another joint work session with you folks if you're interested on water rights specifically and how that kind of relates to us as a jurisdiction with other pending litigation that might be possible in the county. If you're open to that, I'll look for an off Monday. Not seeing anybody going,
I think that would be very valuable.
Okay.
I enjoyed the last meeting we had. It's very beneficial.
Great.
Well, so I think all the, and, you know, I think the majority of the council would like to have that.
Okay. We'll set that up then.
Rights.
I know we've got budget stuff coming also, so yep. We'll try to keep that away from when those extra sessions start happening. And then finally, some good news on the energy conservation project. Jeff, with his professional resources with D.A. Davidson, found a bank that has a lower finance rate than the lease option that we were looking at. So we are going further down that road. And Public Works has been able to leverage further grant dollars towards the street lining component, so about a 200% increase in help from them. So we're essentially with a $1.6 million loan, which is what we're looking at, funding a $3.2 million worth of improvement. So I'm really excited to be able to report that to you right now. We're working through the various paperwork, and we hope to bring something back to you at your next meeting. That's all for me.
Michael, you were out of the room, and so what we did, we saved you for later. And this is later.
Thank you. Sorry for being tardy. I got hung up at the printer.
Okay.
It was out of paper. That turned out to be something of a catastrophe.
So do you have anything on the Planning Commission?
I do have something. Yes, sir, I do have something on the Planning Commission. The Park and Cemetery Board will be having a meeting on Thursday. I have nothing to report other than that, 9:30 this Thursday. The Planning Commission, excuse me, I wanted to report on the recent meeting they had this past week. They had a great attendance, which was really nice. Quite a few people came to listen to a report from the Semiahmoo Spit property owners, or actually their consultants, who were giving an update on their clients' proposals for a resort Semiahmoo master plan update and for both the zoning text and comprehensive plan amendment that would go along with that. It was kind of a general overview. They went through a PowerPoint slideshow with a lot of sort of bullet-pointed information related to their changes, but not a great deal of detail yet. They are in the process of developing that, and will be submitting it probably in the next week or so. Some of the same people are in the audience tonight, and I wanted to mention just for their benefit, I had said that we would have the information on the website today, and we just didn't get to that today due to someone being on vacation, so hopefully tomorrow that will be up, but we had lots of copies of the meeting, so I think everyone who needed one took one home. So that was really interesting. It's a process that we'll be initiating here pretty soon as they have that information submitted. So,
just for clarification, when are you going to have it up on the website?
I hope to have it up on the website tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like I said, though, everyone who was at the meeting was able to take a copy of it home, so it's it was pretty readily available. And we'll also be putting out some information related to the process and some of the steps that will that will go through as well as soon as we have that put together.
Just a question, Michael. When you say updating the master plan, are you talking about their section of the master plan or the entire master plan?
They're primarily interested in updating their section of the master plan. The city, as you remember, the Planning Commission recently docketed two other amendments, or one amendment that had two components, which was to remove the old Cannery Hill and the old West Semiahmoo PUDs from the master plan. Those are the ones that extend way out into the county, former UGA area. That was actually initially part of the package of the project that I was talking about a moment ago. Because we thought that that was sort of dead on the vine and wasn't moving forward, Planning Commission said, we can't wait any longer. We should initiate that one. So we initiated that. Now the property owners are interested in moving forward with some other changes, and that project is not dead on the vine. So I think that we'll probably talk with them about combining that other effort with this. And there may be some people who are interested in, you know, other property owners may be interested in joining with other aspects.
Just help me understand. If I own a piece of property in Semiahmoo, mm-hmm. and I do not participate in these new changes to the master plan, am I still under the old master plan?
There'd only be one master plan. So you would be under whatever master plan is in effect. The new one would be the one.
So in effect, you're saying that the revisions that are coming to this master plan are going to be for the entire area, even though not all the developers have participated in it.
I'm saying the master plan that we have will cover the entire area that it covers. It may not change at all for some portions. Some properties may not have any changes. And so the old master plan, the new master plan, it really wouldn't matter if there are no changes. Other property owners are specifically asking for amendments to the properties that they hold and changes that would affect them. So in that instance, the changes would affect them. But there's only one master plan. So if you were, for instance, to own a 20-acre parcel that said it was supposed to get 40 single-family homes on it and you didn't really want to participate in the master plan, you're fine with a 20-acre parcel that's supposed to get 40 single-family homes. And a new master plan with amendments is adopted by council, yours would still be the same, unless, of course, council decided to change it, but yours would still be the same, presuming it's not initiated by anyone. But that would still be the master plan. There's not going to be an old master plan and a new master plan. There's just going to be the master plan.
So again, help me. If I owned those 20 acres and I didn't participate, and you changed the master plan to where I, instead of 10 houses, I could only have 5 houses, I would be stuck with it, even though I didn't participate in it.
That's right, because when the city council adopts that, that is the regulatory document. So, yes.
Okay. Thank you for your clarification.
Certainly. So then, if it's all right, sir, I will move on to the community development reports.
Okay. Appreciate it.
First off, I wanted to report on a vacancy in the Planning Commission. Unfortunately, Mr. Gallion, David Gallion, resigned on Thursday after the meeting, or at the end of the meeting. Due to family responsibilities, he's not able to participate for at least the next several months, so he is opting to no longer be serving on the Planning Commission. And he's been there for about 7 years, and I think he did a great job, and we, if you see him around, offer him thanks for that service to the community. So we do have an opening. We'll begin advertising this Thursday, and then that notice will close. Can you tell me the date, Sharon?
It's going to close September 3rd. I think that's a Tuesday.
So from now, really from now, someone could submit it, but on Thursday it will be advertised in the Northern Light. It'll go up on the website here in the next day or so, and someone can apply to be on the Planning Commission. And then, as Sherry said, September will be when we close that, and we'll bring the applicants to you, or the applications to you for potential interviews. So that would be a great opportunity for someone to get involved.
Well, thank
you. Do you have Gallion enough for a quorum now?
We have 6 people.
Okay.
Well, do thank Mr. Gallion.
I did, and it was, and the commissioners as well. So, like I say, if you personally see him, it would be just a nice thing. Sometimes we do appreciation or service things, and we'll be looking at that here in the next couple of months.
I think we should.
For him. One other item to report on is on the agenda here, the 2016 Comprehensive Plan Update, Population and Job Allocation Technical Study. I'm going to hand these out to you here in a second. This is a report. It's entitled Whatcom County Population and Employment Projections and Urban Growth Area Allocations. It's a technical study that we participated in, funding a portion of it, along with Whatcom County and all the other cities. It's done by consultants that basically evaluated past growth trends and current growth rates. They worked with the Office of Financial Management, which is the state agency that projects population growth, and they worked with their numbers. And are basically projecting what the population will do over the planning period, which is about 20 years. Because we're supposed to be planning from 2016, it goes out to 2036, so 20 years from the planning horizon. Some really interesting things in here. The one first that jumps out at me is not all that huge compared to some of the other things because it's so far out in the future, but it As a planner and as a geographer and anyone who's a statistician, which I'm not, will be fascinated that this projection is the first one that will show an actual declining population in the county towards the end of the planning period because deaths will exceed births because of the trend in our population. And with an aging American population, this is pretty common throughout. We've finally gotten to that point that they've talked about for a long time. Other countries like Italy and France and places like that have been dealing with it for decades. It's a very strange thing. Countries are used to growing in population, and this will be a point where we will potentially, if all these numbers pan out, actually start to see a decline in population. The only increase in population would be based upon people moving in rather than natural growth, which is the birth of more people.
Need more immigration.
Hmm?
We need more immigration.
Yes. That's what it basically tells us. If we want our population to grow and continue to have a younger population to work and do things, we need more immigration. And so there are a lot of other bits of information in here. Primarily, it is technical. It is totally technical. The next step in this process will be policy. And the policy will come from you, but ultimately it will come from Whatcom County Council. But I'll be coming to you in a month or so asking for input on a policy memo to the county council. So basically the city's position. On September 12th, we'll be having a public hearing at the Planning Commission related to this item. And we'll be looking at questions like, what growth rate should the county be using? Should they be using the slow growth rate, the medium growth rate, the faster growth rate, or some other growth rate? How much of that population do we want to see in Blaine? How much do we want that growth do we want to see come to Blaine? We have a lot of available capacity here. We have a lot of water and sewer capacity, land capacity. How much do we want to fill in that 20-year planning horizon? Not only in population, but how much in jobs should we be planning for? And therefore, zoning additional land or bringing more land into our UGA to be zoned for manufacturing and commercial growth. And then also another issue, which is a little bit stickier, is should the city be taking a position on other cities' growth or other areas' growth, or for instance, population growth in the rural areas outside of cities and urban growth areas. So this is the technical information that says what has been happening, and what we'll be doing over the next several weeks is getting input from the citizens, from the Planning Commission, and then from you ultimately on a policy statement on what does Blaine want to see. Any questions on that before I hand this out and sit down?
Any questions?
Thank you, Mike.
I have a question. Michael, say on our policy statement, we say we want more growth. We want 10% or whatever. I mean, I don't know if it's, I guess we do this in 20-year increments?
We're supposed to do this every 7 years, but with the economy and some changes that the state made, it's shifted to 10-year, so okay. It's periodically. Supposed to be every 7 years.
So if we say we want more growth, how does that translate itself? Does that mean that there is the possibility of being able to increase our urban growth?
There is. Basically, there'll be two different components. There'll be the land capacity analysis, which will indicate how much population we can absorb based upon our existing urban growth area and city limits, because the city limits are also really all within the urban growth area. We tend to think of there's the city and the UGA. Really, though, in planning law in Washington, the city is within the UGA. So if you consider the entire UGA, we have a certain amount of capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's one direction that we come from. The other direction that we come from is how fast will we grow? What will we grow at a 3% rate, a 4% rate, a 5% rate? And how quickly will we intersect our capacity? Mm-hmm. So if we intersect our capacity before we hit the 20-year planning horizon, before 2036, then that would mean, of course, now I'm saying statistically, if we were to hit that based upon our projections, that would mean we need more UGA. Mm-hmm. So that's how that would come about. We have a lot of capacity, mm-hmm. so yeah. It would take pretty substantial growth rate for us to consume it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have traditionally grown at about 2.8 to 3% growth. Just statistics, you can look at mm-hmm. them different ways, but that's about the pace that we've grown over the past decade or so.
Per year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if we say we want 5%?
What
meaning does that have?
Well, if we say we want 5%, what that means is that less will be available to allocate to other population areas. So Linden, Ferndale, Bellingham, Whatcom County, unincorporated areas, Birch Bay, will not have as much population to absorb because there's only a certain amount to go around. And what it means is that we will potentially add to our urban growth area. I don't think that's likely because we have a lot of capacity.
Yeah,
we haven't done
exactly.
All the numbers yet, so we don't know. But what it does mean is we're basically saying we should be growing at that rate. So the other thing that it means is then I will be coming to you with policies, rezoning, upzoning, mm-hmm. different policies
right.
to assist
right.
in creating more density or adding more population. It doesn't mean necessarily into existing areas, but I might come and say, we have this massive planned residential zoning district, and it says 4 dwelling units per acre. That's not very dense. Maybe we should be saying 5 or 6, or maybe we should have a new zone that allows for greater density. So that it, by being part of the comprehensive plan, it drives policy changes like that as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't say you want all the people and then not do things to make it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Jeff, on the finance?
Yeah, probably saw an email from the state auditor's office that they're conducting their 2012 financials, an audit of the city's 2012 financials, as well as a federal single audit, because we did expend more than $500,000 in federal grant money last year, and that was on the sewer treatment plant. So they'll be auditing that as well, and we'll have the results in 2 to 3 weeks. And then at the next meeting, the August 26th council meeting, staff will give the mid-year budget review. So I will give the second quarter financial update, and then we will also discuss the unfunded priorities. You did receive a memo on that. We will discuss that extensively, and then we'll also go into the 2014 budget planning calendar. We'll also discuss that.
Any questions for Jeff? Raven, do you have any report from the city manager, or we'll leave that blank? Any changes on the calendar, Sherry?
No changes.
Okay. Next item is the public hearing. And the person speaking on any issue will be allowed 3 minutes. An additional 2 minutes of non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Action may be taken at the end of the public hearing. There's nothing else I have to do. Okay. So, Michael, are you going to lead this off?
I am.
Okay.
I don't have a lengthy presentation at all tonight. We've been through a presentation on this item on June 24th initially, and then there was a study session held on July 8th and July 22nd. But this is a proposed comprehensive plan amendment and a zoning text amendment. It would adjust the zoning in the residential planned recreation zoning district, which essentially equates to the Semiahmoo uplands. It's that portion of West Plain that is not down on Semiahmoo Spit. The comprehensive plan component of it, because it is general policies for the entire city, apply to the entire city, and most of those policies that are brought, that are recommended to for your adoption by the Planning Commission are fairly general and typically pretty supportive of development, economic development generally. There is one that's more specific to agricultural uses, but the others are more generally promoting economic development. The zoning text amendment very specifically relates to the residential planned recreation zoning district, and it would allow for certain limited agriculture to be a permitted use. That would be non-animal husbandry related agriculture, so it would be things like growing crops, or growing trees like Christmas trees, or even forestry, growing trees to harvest for lumber. The specific types of agriculture are expressed in the zoning text, and they are defined. It also has a series of other limitations, work time frames. It requires landscaping, buffering edges, a 100-foot natural vegetation buffer from Semiahmoo Parkway. It requires the protection of wetlands and other natural features. It requires the preparation of a site plan that would be reviewed administratively. So similar to a development project, there would be a site plan review that would be handled by staff, reviewed by staff. There are, of course, other issues related to setbacks and things like that. And then the protection of certain natural features like stands of mature trees, steep slopes, natural drainage ways, or other things such as that that are also protected through the PUD code, which relates to other development out in that same zoning district. Those are all included in 17.38.020 in the addition, the proposed addition to that zoning text. The other section that would be added to the zoning text would be accessory uses, which are those things that could be done if there is an agricultural activity occurring. And those are buildings primarily, and then it has limitations on the buildings, size limits to each building, total size limits to those which would be allowed on the property, and then other things like siting them, their distance from property lines, heights, and whatnot are included there as well. Like I said, we've been through this in pretty substantial detail. You've seen this ordinance before. So I'm not going to go through all of the different aspects, but if you have specific questions for me before I sit down, I'd be glad to go over those, of course. I guess the first thing that before that, though, I would say the options before the council are to approve with changes, to remand it to the Planning Commission with some direction to review or amend or change something, or to deny the proposal. The recommendation here from the Planning Commission has findings of fact that support approval. So if you were to opt to not approve, to deny the project, you would need to develop findings of fact. You are required to have a public hearing before taking an action, contrary to the Planning Commission's recommendation on the zoning text amendment, which you're doing tonight, so that's happening anyway. If you weren't having a public hearing, I would tell you that, but that's something that you need to do. But Planning Commission recommendation is approval. There are quite a few supporting elements here in the findings of fact, and then the ordinance, of course, is included here in the Planning Commission packet. Do you have any questions for me before you hear from the public?
I think we're good, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And also, sir, the proponent is here tonight as well.
Okay. Okay, we have a number of people who would like to speak to this issue. First is Trevor Hoskins. Trevor, would you please come forward to the mic? Would you please state your name and your address for the record, please?
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Trevor Hoskins, and I live at 8686 Great Arndale Lane in Blaine. I certainly know a great deal more about this proposed change to land use than I knew a few weeks ago when I spoke at your council meeting, thanks to Michael Jones and indeed to the article in the Northern Light. Regrettably, from the applicant's viewpoint, I am no more enthusiastic about the proposal to change the land presently zoned for recreational and planned residences to agricultural use than I was at that time. We asked many questions at that meeting regarding noise, dirt, odor, and water use, to name just a few. I'm not aware of any answers to these questions. Further, Mr. Mayor, while I sympathize with anyone who has invested in land and is unable to use it for the purposes of the investment, I invested in my property in Semiahmoo with the understanding of the approved adjacent land use, and I paid market price for my use. To change zoning on this adjacent land now may adversely affect the value of my property at a time when the housing market in that area is not encouraging. That's the very reason the applicant does not want to build houses on his land. Like many others, I invested in my property following retirement, and I cannot afford to take a possible loss simply to accommodate someone else's investment. I hope that there'll be more input from your council members, Mr. Mayor, on this subject, and I look forward to hearing from them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trevor. The next gentleman is John, and is it Dugray?
Mr. Mayor, Council Members, my name is John Devlin. I live at 5600 Sandling Way in St. Andrews, St. Andrews 1. I was not at the last meeting, but I have read a lot about what's going on with the proposed development.
John, would you mind? I'm very hard of hearing.
Okay.
Would you mind
getting a little closer?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I had said I was not at the last meeting, but I have read a lot and listened to a lot of things which have gone on. I've just listened to a long dissertation by Mr. Jones, stating all the good things he believes would come of it, but very little input from the residents of Semiahmoo. Semiahmoo, I understand, provide a major tax base to the city, and yet things are going on which is going to affect our property values and maybe would affect your tax base too. I concur with Trevor. I bought here on the basis of living in a resort community. If I wanted to live next to a farm, I'd have gone to Linden. I'd have gone to Ferndale. I didn't. I came here. I do not want to see this thing happen. I think it would be an adverse for the Semiahmoo area, especially in light of what's happened now with the inn. Good things are starting to happen finally. We may see some property values go up. But I think if this thing is approved, and we see farming going on, and who knows what the ramifications are going to be, I can just see it would take a decline on our values, which is something we really can't afford at this point in time. So I really hope and sincerely hope that you will turn this thing down and turn the land back to the original design it was intended for. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Is it Michael Kohler? Michael?
Good evening. My name is Michael Coulthard. I live at 5468 Night Heron Drive, Blaine 98230. I've been a resident in the area for roughly 13 years. I happen to have grown up in this area as well because we owned a place in Birch Bay for umpteen years. This was originally part of Birch Bay, was originally agricultural, as some of us old-timers remember. I classify myself as an old-timer now. There's pluses and minuses to the agricultural side, as everyone knows. Some people perceive it as being environmentally friendly. Some people perceive the opportunity to go in and raid the blueberry patch or the raspberry patch, whatever you choose to grow. But the points that my predecessors speaking here have made is absolutely correct. When we purchased our property in Semiahmoo, and I speak on behalf of approximately 500 individual property owners who have bought there, more than 500, but 500 individual homes, plus the associated complexes, etc., they all bought according to the fact that this was going to be a master plan that was vetted and supervised by you, the council. We are under the impression that the property in question that you're planning to rezone was going to be for housing. We're looking forward to that eventually becoming housing. And even in the submission we heard in the beginning of July, they held out the hope that the use of blueberries was only a temporary move until the housing market rebounded and it was suitable for housing again. I would prefer and I would recommend that you consider keeping this land for future housing, and obviously the property owner has agricultural land that's already zoned agricultural down in the flatlands. That comes under county rules. They're free to develop their blueberry or raspberry or whatever they want to grow there. That's already permitted, and keep the land at the uplands for strictly housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gollard. Al Mason. Okay. Gene Cartwright.
I also will pass.
Thank you, Gene. Brian Johnson.
My name is Brian Johnson. I live at 9118 Glen Eagle Drive in Blaine. And I had the pleasure today of picking blueberries at a beautiful local Buckham County farm that must have been there for many, many years because these were full blooming, lovely blueberry bushes that were planted strictly for the purpose of blueberries. And it's a wonderful farm, and I enjoyed my experience very much and thought about what the upcoming blueberry farm that is being proposed out in the Samiemo area would be like. And my guess is that probably what that is going to be, when Michael made his presentation here a few minutes ago, he said it's limited agricultural land. My guess would be it's going to be limited to darn near nothing. This is just a holding operation, nothing more, nothing less, to wait around until the land has appreciated enough that building can take place. And it's not going to be a blueberry farm. We're probably not going to realize any tax income to speak of at all from crops raised there. But rather, we're just going to sit around and wait for a developer, a blueberry farmer turned real estate developer from California, to come in and build what he or she wishes on what ought to be recreational land. So I urge you to deny this proposal. I don't think I want houses built by built for blueberry farmers. I think rather that I would like to see the land develop thoughtfully. And I also have a question, because we are going to be in this room in the next few weeks talking about the whole urban growth package. What is it going to be zoned as then? I mean, is it going to be ag land? Is it going to be urban land? What's it going to be? So I think there are too many questions out there. I think the motives of the purchaser are nothing to do with blueberries at all. It's simply a sham to maintain the land until they can build what they want, when they want. Thank you.
Greg Parkinson. I'm not sure, Craig, I understand exactly what you're suggesting. You're the last one on the list, so I don't think there's anyone signed up to speak. Anyone else who would like to speak is welcome to come forward. If not, Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Craig Parkinson, 119 Grand Avenue, Bellingham. I represent Munger Farms, the proponent for this rezone. I don't have a lot to say, really, other than the proponents would like to be able to make use of the property in some sort of economic venture until the housing market comes back. That's why they did this. They have about 120 or 140 acres on the county side of the city limits line that they'd like to plant in blueberries, and then also continue into the areas that have already been cleared on this property to plant that as well. I've heard a lot of people discuss concern about value to their homes. I'm not sure that there would be a big decrease in value for a use on property that is already screened from Semiamu Parkway. The language in the text that was developed through the Planning Commission, the work sessions and hearings of the Planning Commission, was such that it allowed great flexibility, I think, for the planning director to question, is the use going to pose a nuisance? There are nuisance laws on the books. Would it wouldn't be a wholesale clear cut of the property. There's clearing ordinances, and critical areas ordinances, all of which would apply to any kind of use on this property. Also, just clarify, we're not asking for the land to be rezoned to an ag use. We're asking for the ag use to be a use that could be performed on the property until the housing market rebounds. And I talked with my client about, you know, what does he think about Blueberry's long-term or housing. And he said the housing is much more profitable for him as an investment, but the market's not there. When it comes back, he fully expects to develop it into housing. That's what he wants to see there. I think Michael correctly gave you your options. Approve with change, remand to the Planning Commission, or deny. I would hope you'd either approve with change, or remand to the Planning Commission. We don't want to see this die tonight, but that's your choice. If you do choose to remand, I guess I'd like to know what specifically your concerns are as a council. So that we might be able to add some additional input with the Planning Commission. I guess that's really all I have. Leave it up to you, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, if there are no other individuals who would like to speak, I will bring the public hearing to a close.
Mayor, just wanted to advise that Council Member Paul Greeno did receive a letter from a Bob Selby regarding this, and he will give it to me so that it can be part of the record.
Thank you. Anything else? If I hear nothing further, we will bring the public hearing to a close. Next item is written communications. Sherry, do you?
We received a letter dated August 6th from Ken Ely regarding the Community and Tourism Development Coordinator's position. And we received a letter dated August 7th from Blaine Chamber of Commerce and Rod Snyder and Kathy Taggett regarding the Visitor Information Center.
Okay, thank you. Next item is the consent agenda. We're looking for approval of the July 22nd, 2013 council meeting minutes and the Harvey Road project closure.
I move we approve.
No, there's one other one. There's amendment number one to the SCADA and Controls Engineering Services Agreement. Those are the items on the consent agenda.
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Is there a seconder?
I'll second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries 6-0. Next item on the agenda is the council action items. There's one item, Ordinance 13-2832, the Agricultural Land Use Amendments. And we have before us, staff has recommended that Council adopt Ordinance 13-2832, amending the Blaine Municipal Code Chapter 1738 to add certain agricultural uses as permitted in accessory uses in the residential planned recreation zoning district, and to add language to the comprehensive plan related to economic development and land use. This recommendation is consistent with the Planning Commission recommendation to approve the comprehensive plan amendment and the zoning text amendment. Council decides that the amendment should be denied. Staff recommends that the council hold a public hearing, which we've just done. I believe, Michael, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. And to allow for further comment, we've done that. If council seeks changes to the proposal, staff recommends the council remand the item to the Planning Commission for development of a revised recommendation. Clerk. You can certainly make a motion if you wish.
I will make a motion that we deny Ordinance 13-2832.
Is there a second?
I have a procedural question. And that's that motions are to be put in a positive form, not a negative form.
All right.
So maybe Mr. Cotner would restate his motion, or perhaps we could see if there is a motion to accept the recommendation.
Okay. Would you care to withdraw your motion? Well, there wasn't a seconder for it anyway.
There was not.
No.
Okay, so the motion is not carried forward. Would someone like to make a motion to approve?
Mr. Mayor, if that motion is made to approve and it's the vote is taken,
then it will be denied.
So that would be the positive statement that Paul is considering?
Yes.
Is that right, Paul?
That is correct. If you move to accept the proposal, that's a positive statement.
Yep.
And then if, in fact, that is seconded, then it will go to a vote. And if we get four votes or more, it will pass.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes. I can tell by the reaction in the audience that people can't hear you. Council members are not speaking into their microphones, so this is passing over a lot of people.
Okay, fair enough. Let me restate what I was trying to say.
Please.
One of the fundamental procedures is that a motion must be stated in the positive, not in the negative. In this case, that translates into a motion to accept the Planning Commission's recommendation rather than a Clark's motion to deny it. Dennis has asked what would happen then. My response is that if there were a motion on the floor, if there were a second, then it would go to a vote after discussion. The outcome could be, with six of us here, a 4-1 or a 5-1 or a 4-2 approval. If the vote were 3-3, it would be a tie. And if I understand the regulations correctly, a tie is equivalent to a no vote. And my city clerk agrees with me on that interpretation. So right now, as I understand it, we are looking for somebody to make such a motion. If there is no motion on the floor, then the proposal will die by lack of motion.
So I should withdraw my statement.
That is correct.
I will.
Okay.
Now, do we have a motion to approve?
Another question. If there is no motion made to approve, then are we still bound to develop findings appropriate to making no motion?
No one makes a motion to approve. That's a great question. I don't believe so, because you will have taken no action. If dies due to fail, you know, no action.
Run that by again.
Councilwoman Onion asked if if no one makes a motion, are you obligated to develop findings? And my answer was, I said that was a great question, and I believe no. If there is no motion, it just dies due to lack of action, and there was no action to be defended by findings of fact.
Okay, Mr. Jones, I think that you are correct in that there is no obligation. However, perhaps there is a responsibility to discuss why each of us may or may not be opposed to such a motion. So that if a motion comes to the floor, that's fine. I will address my sense. If a motion does not come to the floor, then I would still like the record somehow to contain my comments, if that would be possible.
I think it would be wise for you to put your reasons for either acting or not acting on the record.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll come back to the issue. Is there a motion to accept the recommendation of the Planning Commission? Hearing none. There will be no motion this evening, and it will die.
Okay. Now, after having made my previous comments, is this an appropriate moment to comment on why, had there been a motion, I would have opposed it?
I think this would be the best time, yes.
Okay, I would oppose it. Should there have been a motion on the floor, I would have voted to oppose it for three reasons. Many of them have been addressed by the audience already. The first is a philosophical reason. one of the primary necessities for economic development that I was taught over a 25-year career is stability. You must, simply must have stability if you expect to see economic development. And as it applies here, zoning creates stability. Several of the members of the audience have said, we bought because. And yes, there are times when it is necessary to amend a zoning ordinance. I do not believe this is such a time. So I would have voted against it for that reason. The second is growth. We have said that we want to grow. My strong feeling is that if this land were to be planted in blueberries as opposed to be left as vacant land, that's a disincentive to, in turn, take the blueberries back out again and put it into houses. So that I would argue that this plan would not only not encourage growth, it would discourage growth. The third objection that I have is one of compliance. And the ordinance as presented had many things that a farmer must or should or had to do. All well and good. The city has essentially zero capability of enforcing compliance with each of these things. So that I can see somebody well-intentioned this year, well-intentioned next year, but 3 or 4 years down the road, things change. And something that the law today would say, you must do this, you cannot do that, they would say, well, but we have to. We can't afford it unless you let us do this. And we simply have no way of enforcing compliance, no practical way. We have a legal way, but no practical way. So that had the motion come up, that would have been the speech that I would have given.
Michael, I would like you to take back to the Planning Commission our appreciation for the work that they've done. And we certainly think that they were very thoughtful and they had the opportunity to look at one particular project, and I think the council really has to look at the larger picture, and that's what we're trying to convey to them, that we believe that we have to look at the larger picture as opposed to looking at a single project. I would have opposed the recommendation for a number of reasons. One is we have just gone through a situation where we've lost a big portion of our UGA simply because it was felt that we had too much land available and we weren't developing it. I don't think it makes sense to take land that currently should be developed for housing and turn it into farming. I think that's a backward step. And it would simply, I think, create the situation again where people would be saying, well, we need to take more of Blaine's UGA away because it's obvious that they have land that they can turn into farming. The second one is that the property owner knew in advance what the zoning was. This shouldn't have come as any surprise to him. He knew what the zoning was. He knew that it wasn't farming and that it was unlikely when you were going to go into a resort development that farming would be allowed. Another issue that I would have brought up was the fact that I don't think an economic study was conducted as to what effect, positively or negatively, this would have had on the retail or the price of property in Semiahmoo. We don't know what changes to a resort community farming would have, and I think we would at least should have at least considered that, what positive or negative effect that should have incurred. The other item I think I would have brought up is that this is a critical area. We're close to the ocean. I don't think, properly addressed what type of chemicals would have to be used on this. We heard at our last meeting that in quite often when you have blueberry farms, they use helicopters to spray on them. We have no idea what the effect of that would be in a community with houses close by. I don't know. Roads would have had to go in. There would have been, had to have been lighting. We would have had to have a barn built. And we don't know how attractive or unattractive that would be. Workers would have to come in and out. And I just don't think that environmentally that this is items that we should be doing in that kind of a critical area. So those are kind of the things, that thoughts that I had. And again, I appreciate the work that the Planning Commission has done. But I think if you look at the project in its entirety, or look at the resort in its entirety, I don't think this is would have been a good choice.
Sorry, can I just make a couple comments?
You certainly may, Bonnie.
I came at this with a really open mind, maybe a little more open than some of you, because you really have a personal stake in it. So I was trying to look at this as, could it potentially be a good thing without too many negative impacts? As I've looked at it, there's just, for me, there's too many unanswered questions, too many unknowns about it. Once it gets into place, even if the rules are basically followed, there's just, the impacts, I just think, are too fuzzy. I'm, like Harry, I'm concerned about property values, even on, in a five-year span, even before the market picks up. I'm worried about that. Another thing, blueberries are a very long-term crop. I might feel better if they were going to plant corn. You know, an annual crop that you harvest it and then it's done with. And then, you know, it's not this long-term commitment, and you don't, they're going to be building buildings, because blueberries take about 5 years, from what I understand, to get to full production. And they're not going to plant a bunch of blueberries without intending, even if the market picks up, I would think they're going to be committed to that for quite a long time. So we're not talking about a short-term commitment here. And I didn't feel too good about that. If it was only going to be for a couple years, but there's certainly no guarantee of that. And it could go on and on and on for 10 years or more. And I don't think that's something we want. We don't want something like that in that zone. So just because of the buildings that might be built, the workers coming back and forth, just all those impacts to me are too fuzzy and unknown, and I just don't feel comfortable at all with it. So just for various reasons, I would have voted no.
Anyone other have comments or comments you want to make? Well, I think that brings us to the end of our agenda. Is there any unfinished business?
One, Harry.
Yes, Dennis.
And maybe Michael will respond.
The proponent can appeal this decision or lack thereof?
I'm certain there's an ability to appeal a lack of a decision. There must be, but frankly, I'm not familiar with it. I'm not an attorney to be able to give you a good answer.
And he would need to know the time frame in which that would have to be done.
Yes.
So that should be determined.
I am working right now on trying to put together some kind of a notice related to the lack of action. Okay. Typically, we put out a notice that indicates the action that occurred, and that starts the clock, which is what you're referring to. And so this notice will be apparently a notice of a lack of action, but it will still have to start clock for an appeal. And then I'm going to go straight to Robert's Rules of Order and figure out if you could have made a motion to deny, because this is troubling to me that it's dying due to lack of action.
Firm
action always seems like a better thing to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know for sure.
Okay. It could be brought back. Put back on the agenda. Okay, if there is no other further new business, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:06. I just thought it was fuzzy.